Father, as we think about who you are, O Father, many times it is so beyond our understanding and beyond our thoughts that we sometimes cannot comprehend the idea about who you are, O God. And O Father, yet we can have a relationship with you, all-knowing God, a God who has no beginning and no end, and a God who created this universe, and a God who has given life to us. Father, we can have a personal relationship with you. And sometimes it boggles our mind that such a God who is so powerful, so big, and yet we can have a personal relationship with you, O Father. Thank you, God, for giving us that opportunity. And today, as we focus upon you and think about the great things that you have done in our life, O God, we can say these words: the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And O Father, we know you are our refuge in times of troubles. Sometimes the trouble is so deep and so beyond our understanding. Sometimes the issues that we face in our lives are just beyond us, O God. But in this world that we can find refuge in you, O Father God, when we have a relationship with you, we can sit and have a conversation with you. We can share the burden of our heart with you, O Father God. The pain that we experience in our lives, we can share that with you. We can speak to you about it and rely on you, O Father God. And O Father, we can not only speak to you, but O Father, we can ask for your help in the situation, O Father God. We can ask for help, for a solace, for a peace, for comfort. And oh God, we can rely on the word of God to draw those things and really depend upon you, oh Father. You speak to us through godly people, through the word of God and spending time with you, oh Father God. We know you strengthen our lives in those weak moments, into those broken moments. Father, give us the heart to depend upon you these days. Thank you, God, for being there. And, oh God, as we reflect upon the word today, just open our hearts, open our minds, oh God. We are going to talk very simple things about relationship with you. And, oh Father, have your way in our lives, O Father God, to really put things in perspective about our life and what you have done for us. So open our heart, open our mind, O God, today. Father, we lift up people who are not feeling well today. We pray for Vandana and other people who are probably suffering from sickness and just going through the things that are going around in our valley, and Melissa and Thomas and Laura are not well as well, and there are others who may not be feeling well, oh Father God. Just want to lift them up into your hand, oh God. Just reach out to them, just strengthen them, oh Father. If you have forgotten about somebody who is not well, oh God, just reach out to them, oh God, and give them the strength. Thank you, God, for people who have gone through the procedures and you have been with them, O Father, and Thank you, God, for bringing them to the place of healing as well. Thank you, God, for Brad and Krista, and thank you, God, for being with them these difficult days and just letting them know that you are there with them. Thank you, Father, for the procedure that went well, and we continue to pray for Brad that you will continue to put your hand upon him and strengthen him, O God. Use him for your glory, that he will be healed completely, O Father. This is our prayer for him today. Thank you, Jesus. And O God, as we continue to worship you, give you thanks, we want to worship you through the giving of our tithes and our offering to you. We are thankful to you, and so we want to give what you have given to us and what you have commanded us, O God, to give our tithes and offering. So receive it as we give you as an act of worship to you, O Father God, today. Help us to give without holding it back, without cheerful heart, and with thanksgiving to you, O Father God, today. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we give you thanks. And as we continue to pray, we pray for our kids, and as they go and worship you and learn from you, O God, we want to pray for each and every one, O God, that you will work in their hearts and their minds and lift them up and draw them closer to you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you worship the Lord, let's worship in giving of our tithes and offering. We do this with thanksgiving and cheerful heart. Ushers, if you will come and receive the offering today. If you miss giving, there is always online option on our website, which is a great option. You can go anytime during the week and give online. There's a basket at the back. You can put it there as well. And so just do this as a worship to God today. Let's express our gladness and cheerfulness as we clap and give thanks to God.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry.
About carrying your own cross, but then you just carried it for me, so that's okay. But it's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I was going to start a sermon series on eternity today, and I realize that there is one sermon left in this Reflecting on God series. I don't know what this series is called, but it is about God, and that's what we have been kind of talking about this past few weeks. And so I just needed to kind of finish that. And we are going to start a series and pray about this. I think it's going to be just amazing series. I've been blessed, and I've been kind of learning a lot about, you know, thinking about eternity. And we have to think about our life in terms of eternity, it is a fascinating thing. So I don't want to start preaching what I'm going to preach next week and a few weeks after that. So the reason I'm saying that is just keep praying for that, and just come back next Sunday. We are going to have an amazing time together, learning in the context of really eternity. But today, just want to focus on the Word of God, this last sermon series in this series of, on focusing on God. It's amazing. You know, I don't want to embarrass people, but, you know, some people celebrated their birthdays last week. Did Mike celebrate his birthday? Yeah. So, and Renee celebrated her birthday, and so we just want to wish them. I don't give out the dates when you were born or the years and those types of things. That's not good. But just wish them. You know, our friends here, I don't want to embarrass you either, but Justin and Priscilla and their daughter is here. You know, if you remember them, they came and long time ago, like 10 years ago here, and they got married here. They just celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary, and it was my privilege to do, do the ceremony for you guys. And they have been all over the United States serving our country, and they're here now. So some of you may know them, just so greet them, you know, welcome them as well. And so that's amazing. So let's turn our attention to the Word of God this morning, and we are going to, just to kind of, make certain things clear, and some of the illustrations, we are going to attempt to see a couple of video clips, but they're later on, and I hope you enjoy that. But this morning, we are going to talk about commitment, and why commitment is important in life. Just dream with me for a moment that if 100% of students were committed to their studies in their, you know, what they're studying, 100% of the time, if they're, what will happen? I think our society, our nation will be transformed. If there are 100% of people who are parents are really committed in the lives of their kids and encouraging them and really investing in their life and being a parent what God has called them to be. And if everyone in our country would do that, can you just imagine what will happen? If there are 100% of husbands and wives are committed to their marriage, and are 100% of them are just kind of faithful in their marriage, just imagine what will happen. You know, there are lots of things that can change and transform in the lives of people when we are committed. And we have been talking about this whole idea for last few weeks about what God knows about me as a person. And we took a couple of weeks to kind of understand, hey, God is there and my life is here. And we kind of think about our relationship with God. Some of the time we are, you know, I'm not sure whether I want to have a relationship, but God still exists and we still exist. And we ask the question, what God knows about me as a human being? And we found out God knows everything about us. Whether we have a relationship with God or not have a relationship with God, God has created every one of us, and He knows everything about you. And so we talked about, let's not hide anything from God, because anyway, He knows it. We can pretend that God doesn't know what is going on, you know, and everything, good, bad, ugly, everything, the pain, the suffering, the joys of our life, He knows everything. And so that is what it is. And then we took our journey and we said, you know, God gives us everything that we need in our lives. And He just provides us things. And many times things happen in our life which we do not have explanation for, because we live in a fallen world. And the world we live in is not a perfect world. We should really think about this, that the world we live in is an imperfect world, and there are so many things happen that affect our life, which you know, we don't like about certain outcomes which come. But in the midst of all that, God is present, and he walks us through everything that we go through, and he will give us what is needed in our life. And then we talked about that. And then I think last week we talked about, where is God when we need him? And many times we have asked these questions in our lives, and you know, in the most difficult times, we feel that God is not there in our lives. And we don't experience his presence, and we don't experience his hand that he's holding and walking with us. And we wonder, where is God? And we learned last week that God is always with us. He promised us, and he walks with us, and his presence is with us. We need to depend upon him and draw comfort and strength from him. And so all that we learned, and today we are going to talk about the commitment. All this we have learned, and in response to God, it is important for us to evaluate our life and whether we have a commitment of any sort to God. And so we are going to talk about this. And in the world, the commitment is so important. The idea of commitment in our culture, when it is kind of evaluated, and as Jesus, you know, teaches us this idea of commitment, and we see our culture and our world, it is really difficult for us to understand that our attitude, our whole idea towards commitment is not there in our culture. You know, it is more and more fading away. We just want so-called our freedom, and we just want to keep our options open. So it relates to everything in our life. And more we see that it is reflected in the married relationships, and people are less committed, and they want to keep the options open. That can lead them into more dangerous things and chaotic things in their life, and the commitment is just not there as it used to be. You know, a long time ago, there is a sociologist and a professor. His name is Robert Billa. He is, you know, sociologist and a professor from University of Southern California. And he did a study, and whenever we think about University of Southern California, you may think, oh my goodness, do we need to really consider the research that this guy has done? Let's pause and think about University of Southern California. The president of University of Southern California, former president, his name was Dr. Joseph Whitney. Do you know he was our founding father of our church of the Nazarene? So when people were thinking, I digress a little bit, but it's in the context here. When people were praying and God was just bringing people together across United States and Canada, Whitney, he was a president of University of Southern California, and he was a part of forming the Church of the Nazarene as a founding father. And he prayed whole night about what the name should be of our church. And after entire night of praying, God gave him the name Church of the Nazarene, and he was the one who suggested that name, and we adopted, and we still have that name, Church of the Nazarene. So good things come out of many, many, many places. You know, what will come out of the Nazareth, which was a really bad place, and some good Jesus came out of that place, and and touched the whole world and gave us the plan of salvation and freedom in our life. So this guy, Robert Billa, sorry about that, just kind of gave you a little information as an education point there, but he did the study about basically discovered that the trends in America is moving fast towards non-commitment. And he did that in 1980s. And he drew that conclusion then. And as we find ourselves in 2024, I don't think so we have improved on that in that area. We are becoming more and more non-committal about everything. We do not want to focus on one thing. We just want to keep our options open, and we just want to try this a little bit and try that and try that and try that, and do not want to focus on anything and get those things done. And that is also, that also includes our relationships in our life. I mean, that is a general idea we have gone to the extreme of being non-committal. You know, the problem is this kind of life is very dangerous, and it creates a lot of problems in our lives. If you keep saying, for example, there is a buffet there, and there are some great food offered, and we have great options there, and you just walk the line, and you say, and you have an opportunity to just kind of choose, you know, three dishes to kind of in your plate, if that is the rule, and you will just kind of go through those 24 kind of or 25 dishes there, and you will walk and say, no, I don't want this. This looks good. No, this looks good. No. And you will be at the end of the line, but don't want to commit to kind of serve on your plate three amazing foods that you can eat from the buffet. By the end of the line, you will have nothing. Your plate will be empty. And maybe we are living that kind of a life, non-committal life. We want to keep our options open, do not want to focus. The key of life is, of effective life is, we want to commit on something and be focused. And it is important to be focused on certain things and get things done in our life. But the trend is, oh, we want to do a bunch of things and get our hands here, there, and everywhere and end up doing nothing in our lives. You know, that is the result of being non-committal. And that is what happens. So we live life which is really floating, really fluid, really not knowing where we are moving towards and what is our goal in our life, what is our objective in our life, what is the mission of our life. It is so confusing, and we live a life which is very immature. So when it comes to God, we have this option in our life, and we say, oh, sometimes I want to have a relationship with God, and sometimes I want to talk to him, sometimes I don't want to talk to him, sometimes I want to read his word, and sometimes I don't want to do this. When things are going great, I don't need God, and when things are difficult, I'll just kind of take God and try to have a little bit of conversation with him and move on in our life. And so that is a problem. And God knows that, because we learned that. God knows everything. God knows our heart. God knows when we approach him. God knows when we pray to him, what is our intention and what is our attitude towards him. He knows when we just want to use him for our advantage. He knows that. So I want to draw your attention to the word of God today. In the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, and pay attention to this. This is what the word of the Lord says. And it says, here Peter writes this, from now on, he's challenging all of us. And he writes to the readers there, and he's saying this to us as well. He says, from now on, live the rest of your lives controlled by God's will, not by the human desires. And he's challenging us today, and he's saying, from now on, don't wait. You can start your journey now. Maybe you were non-committal. Maybe you were just, you know, vague in your life and just going everywhere. But now on, this is where you need to focus your life on. And the focus should be now on you live your lives controlled by God's will and not by the human desires. What it means is, you know, commit your life to God and take that journey. And I want you to kind of circle the words, the rest of your life. Now on, so your journey begins today, at this moment. And if you will make the decision to kind of, you know, surrender your life to God and live according to his will, you're going to focus on God and have him lead your life in a chaos, in a things that are beyond your understanding. And you are going to have a direction in your life, which is God who created you, a God who has created this world, and you're going to have a focus, and you're going to have a fulfilled journey in your life. You know, you may be 5 years old, 25 years old, 75 years old, and you may say that I lived all my life not focused on God, not committed to God. And Peter is saying that you can start that journey now. And rest of your journey can be very fulfilling. You do not have to kind of reflect on past and say, I've wasted all this time, but you can start that journey. For the rest of your life, from this day forward, you can start that journey. The fact is, you and I were made for the purpose that God has given us. And you will never fulfill your purpose in your life. You will always have that emptiness in your life. That big piece will be missing in your life if you are not committed to God. You will probably achieve a lot of things in your life. You may be a great business person. You may have a great job. You may achieve a lot of things in your life. And at the end of the day, when you're sitting down, there will be a big piece in your soul that will be missing. And you may experience that missing piece because you have not made your life right with God. And you're not living that life which is according to God's will. And God is crying out to us and saying that here is the path that I have created for you. And I have created each one of you, including myself and everybody in this world, for a specific purpose. He has not created us. And we have talked about this many, many times in this congregation, that he has created us for a very specific reason in this world. And we have, and that purpose is there. And we can only realize that purpose when we commit ourselves to God and find out that path, which is satisfying path, which draws a lot of joy. And we can really say that this is what it is. I'm in my element, kind of a thing, when we are committed to God and walking on his path. So it is important for us. You know, there are two kinds of people you will find in any profession you take. There are first, you know, one kind, not first or second, but one kind of people you will find, and you will see them, that they are just there for making money and doing their job. And as long as they get money, you know, that is all there too. And then there are other types of people in any profession that they, of course, you know, earning money is important, but they are there and they are committed and they understand why they are doing the job and they want to make the difference. They want to make the difference in the lives of people and what they do, and there is a difference. There are two types of people you will find. And the greatest difference is made when we focus and we are committed to what God has called us to do. You will never find, and you will never know what God has called us to do, the purpose of your life. and why you are even living on the face of this earth unless and until you have committed your life to God and understand from Him what is your path in your life. And that is what it is. So it is important for us to, and we're going to watch this first clip. It is important for us to take a step of faith in our life. It is important for us to really put our trust and faith in God and really embrace His promise and say God is going to come through in our life and fulfill what He has asked us to do. So it is like this clip here in Indiana Jones, the movie, and Harrison Ford is acting there, and he takes the step of faith, and his dad says, you have to take the step of faith and watch this, and you will know what we are talking about.
Only in the leap from the lion's head will he prove his worth. Impossible. Nobody can jump this.
Ah! Indy! And you must hurry! Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith.
So that is a step of faith. Many times we find ourselves in life where there is nothing and life looks meaningless. And it is important to put a step of faith and put our faith in God and say, God, I want to have a relationship with you and I want to trust you with my life. And you're going to make a way in my life, and He will. He will make a way in our life. So you may ask me, or you may have questions in your mind, why should we commit our life to God in the world? I'm fine. Things are going okay. And there are a few things I want to talk to you today, why it is important to commit your life to God. And we are really talking at the backdrop of what we have learned about God. God knows everything. God provides us what we need at the juncture of different times in our life. You know, when we ask question, where is God? He is there. And in that context, we want to put our trust in God. It is not, God is not ATM machine, so to speak, that, oh, I need this, so just put the card and receive it, and then forget about that ATM machine and things like that. God expects us to have a ongoing relationship with Him. And so the first and foremost thing is this, because God shaped me for a purpose. And we talked a little bit about this earlier, that He has a purpose for my life, And because God shaped me for a purpose, each one of us, the Bible says, even before I was born, God had chosen me to be his very own. Everyone who has been given life, God expects them to be their children. It is our choice that we have, you know, not accepted God's relationship in our life, and we have walked away from him. And God is, you know, he has a purpose for our life, and you will never fulfill that potential of that purpose unless we have a relationship with God. You know, God, it is the prayer that we need to pray. God, use me for the purpose in my life. I'm wasting away my life. And it may not be like whatever you're doing right now. It may be very well be the same thing you're doing, even after having a relationship with God, but you will find a new purpose in what you're doing, which you're unknown about, because we do not have a relationship with God. And it is important that it is to commit our life to God, because he has shaped me for his purpose. And we are going to go through this really quickly. And the second thing why we should have a relationship with God is God knows what is best for me. He has created us. He has given us the life, the way we have been born and the way we are breathing and enjoying life. It is not just by accident we have received this life on the face of this earth. We have received this life because God has placed us and given us and gifted us with this life on this earth, and he knows what is best for you and me. Only God knows what is best for you and me. You know, the word of God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans to give you hope and plans to give you future. So that is his desire for us. He is not here to break us down. He is not here to kind of scatter us or just to kind of destroy our life. God has created us to kind of give us future and give us hope and build us up. And that is what God does in our life. You know, he's wiser. He knows better about our life. So it is better to surrender our life to him, because he knows best thing for us, what needs to happen in our life. You know, the third thing is I'm grateful for my salvation. You know, God has made the way of salvation for me, the way of freedom in my life. And that is the reason we need to surrender our life to him. He has created the path of freedom for us by dying on the cross and the resurrection, you know, after 3 days, and he's a living God. And the scripture says, Christ saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. According to his own purpose and grace, it has nothing to do with how much good works we are doing, but he has called all of us to him, and he wants to give us the free gift of salvation. It is available to us only if we will receive it. And that is the reason we want to commit our life to him, because it is available to us. You know, the fourth thing is this, that God promises to reward my commitment. So when we commit our life to God, there is a reward associated with that. And that reward is eternal reward. You know, it is there, and it is, we commit our life and we receive reward in return of commitment, our life commitment to him. You know, and that reward is not just like gold or things, the material things of this world, but it is an eternal reward. And we are going to talk more about that next week. It's in depth about eternity. And so, you know, don't want to talk too much about that, but he gives us the eternal reward. Look, Proverbs 3:6, it says, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. He's going to crown your efforts with success. And so, you know, we'll talk more about this. What is success? What God really views as a success in our life. Many times we are so focused on a success in our community, in our culture, that we need to be successful in this world. And if we have achieved certain things in our life, we considered, according to the world standard, successful people. And that is so temporary. That is so limited. And God is not really talking about that success, but God is saying, I'm going to give you eternal success in your life. And we will talk more about that, but that is the result of committing our life to God. He gives us the reward. That is eternal reward in heaven. And which is kind of for eternity, we can experience that. And that is what God does for our life. But really quickly, there are three things that keeps us, that holds us back. And I just want to encourage you today to evaluate your life. Maybe you're sitting here, you're thinking about your life and relationship with God. You're listening online and thinking about those things. And these are two or three things that will keep us away from committing our life to God. The first thing is our short-term value. You know, our short-term value, many times we fail to take a long look and don't, you know, want to look at the long-term vision for our life. 20 years, 30 years from now, or for eternity. We look at our life many times, you know, at the end of the life on the face of this earth. And what am I going to gain as a result of my commitment in this world? You know, we will be blessed in this world as well. But there is a life that is eternal life beyond our life on the face of this earth. And God is really addressing this whole thing about the life which we are going to spend in eternity. Our life on the face of this earth is a very short life. Whatever time it is, 80 years, 90 years, 40 years, whatever God has given us, which is very, very limited life. And then, you know, whether we are committed to God and let God do the work in our life, our eternity is affected by what we do on the face of this earth. And we are only focused on our short-term values in our life. So all our mind is wrapped around how much money I'm going to make. I mean, all of us think about that. How much I'm going to save for my retirement. How much I'm going to save for my college, you know, money, which is important to think about. But all our energy and focus is towards that. You know, when I'm going to pay off my house, when I'm going to be debt-free, which is important to think about. But all our energy and all our focus is all towards that. And in the bargain, we are letting the eternal values go to the waste. We are not thinking about the eternity and what needs to be done in our life so that our eternal life is affected positively. And so we are not thinking. And the only thing that will make the difference in our life is the relationship with Jesus Christ in our life. That will affect our eternity. And we are not even thinking about that because there are so many things. If we make the list in this world, this needs to be done and this is priority. And you start making the list and there are 20 things that are on a priority list, and we want to kind of list 1, 2, 3, you know, from top to bottom, and you look at all those 20 things, and all 20 things are priority for us. So we probably want to write those horizontally, and you look at those 20 things in our life, and they are not about eternity. They are just very limited, a short-term goals in our life, which are limited for our life on this earth. And it is a problem when we focus on that. We do not have time to think about eternal life that God is going to give us. Whether we are going to spend that time in heaven or we are going to spend that time in hell. And that is the reality. This is not a fiction. This is not something that somebody has made the story about. But this is very serious stuff. What we do in our life is going to affect our eternity, and our short-term goals just keeps on holding us back in committing our life to God. You know, 1 John 2:17, the Apostle John writes, "The world and all its passions and desires will one day disappear. But anyone who does the will of God will live forever." You know, I don't need to explain this verse. The world's desires, the goals that we set, the passions and the desires of this world, they're all going to be, they will disappear. You know, when I was growing up in India, in the college, I was, you know, studying, and I was so focused that I needed a motorbike to ride, to just go around in the city. And Honda had come up with the bike, and it was just beautiful. And I wanted that. And I said, man, life is just amazing. And it'll be just, if I get that, I do not want anything else. That's it. And then I worked, you know, I didn't work hard, but I just kind of pestered my parents and they gave it to me. Kind of, they were very nice people. And then I realized, oh, I need a gas so that I can ride. So I had this imagination, I'm going to build a very big tank and just kind of, somebody will donate me this gas, and every time I need it, I'll just fill it and just kind of go around, and all that is, that's all I need. And that was so important. That was the goal. That was everything for me. And, you know, when I visited back, you know, a few years ago, in my house, near my house, you know, in our yard there, this bike was broken, dusted, and it was just sitting there, not even working. And it was just, you know, ready to be towed to the junkyard probably, and that was the status of that bike. Where I put my whole kind of effort, and that was going to change my life. And after a few years, it was just destroyed and nothing. I just looked at there. And by now, God gave me a little bit of wisdom and maturity. And I looked at that. And I stood there in front of that bike. And I said, you know, the goals of the world are like this. We work so hard. We work, you know, our whole energy is put in there to kind of gain that. And a bike is just an example, because that was, at that point in time, was very important for me. And it is so hard, and we will fight, and we will probably make enemies to gain certain things in our lives. And you know, we will break the relationships and all those kinds of things to kind of gain that. And at the end of it, it's nothing after some time. And it is destroyed. And God is saying to us today, and he has been saying to us yesterday, and he will say this tomorrow as well, focus on eternal things. The relationship with me is not limited to these worldly things which will get destroyed. our house after some years will be just broken and nobody will, that property will be worthless. The money we have, it is good to kind of use it for now and enjoy our life, but let's not get stuck into your heart, stuck into the money issues, because it is there today and it's not there. Everything we have. And so I just want to encourage you today to kind of make the list of where your focus is. Nobody has to see that. Go home and take the paper and pen or the your journal or whatever you have. Make the list of the things that are so important in your life, that you're focused towards, that you're spending energy towards, and you know that this is everything for me. List those things down. Honestly, nobody has to see those. God knows and you know. And then look at that thing and say, after a few years, what does it matter? What does it matter? That doesn't mean that we should live poor or we should not make money in our lives. It is important. Bible talks lots about, you know, taking care of money, managing our money well, you know, building our careers. Those are important things, but we cannot put all our energy towards that and forget about the eternal things in our life, that is relationship with Jesus Christ. Do that exercise and you will learn a lot of things really quickly. Sorry, I'm taking a little time here. But the past failures, we are stuck many times in, man, I lived 45 years, I lived 15 years, I lived 50 years, 75 years, whatever, and my past has been terrible. I have failed my life. I have done so many bad things in my life, and I'm not good enough. Everything I have touched, I have messed it up, and it is just not good enough. And if I come now before God, God is not going to accept me because I'm such a bad person. I have failed over and over again. What good God is going to do in my life? And we are stuck in our past. But the Word of God says, and as we read right now, that from this point onwards, you can commit your life to God and you can live in with His direction and in His will. You can change your life. In fact, there are so many people in the Word of God which are written, and I'll give you three examples. Moses, a great guy in the Bible, David, and you know Paul, who wrote many letters, and he was a great preacher, and he started many, many churches around the world. And we read about Paul, and we read about David, King David, a man after God's own heart, and Moses, and all these people. Do you know what was common thing amongst all these three people? They all were murderers. Each one of them murdered somebody very intentionally. The worst thing that you could probably do, one of the worst thing. And God still took those people, their failures, their sins, and took them and used all of them for the glory of God in an amazing way. He can use murderers. I don't think so there is any murderers here. He can use you for His glory. For His glory. And so don't let your past pull you down. God wants to use you for amazing things. The last thing is this: being self-absorbed. We are just about ourselves. We are just about ourselves. It is, our life is all focused about me, mine, and I. And our world is just kind of limited to ourselves. There is nobody else living there. And as long as things happen the way I want it, that is all the world is all about. And that is how we live, and it is self-absorbed life. You know, Jesus puts it this way in Mark 8:35. Whoever tries to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life in serving Christ and other, he finds life in all its fullness. So the more and more we are stuck into just about myself and selfishness, and it is all about me, and my world is so limited and revolves around just myself, everything about myself. And we don't let our life go and surrender to God, we are going to lose our life. It is very difficult to kind of hold it on. And many times we operate that way, and we lose it because we hold it on so tightly. We want it in our control. Just quickly to illustrate this point, and then we will close. Can you play that from the same movie, that clip which says, "Let it go," and you will get the idea. Surrender your life to God. If you let it go and surrender, you will be saved. But if you will hold on, you will be crushed and you will lose your life. Just watch this.
We have got it. Come on.
Elsa. Elsa, don't move.
It's ours, Indy. Yours and mine.
Elsa, don't cross the seal. The knight warned us not to take the Grail from here.
Are we willing to let go our life and surrender to God? If we let it go and not control our life and surrender our life to God, He will save us. And many times we just want to control everything because we say, "It's my life. I want to control it." Let's surrender our life to God. And I don't know where you are in your life. Maybe you needed to evaluate that. And most of you have a relationship with God, but it's a great reminder. But let's close our eyes today and give thanks to God. And commit our life to God. And maybe we have walked away and drifted away. And we are finding ourselves in controlling our own life and our relationship with God is questionable. It's time to commit our life to God. I asked the same question last week. If there is anybody who is here today who wants to commit their life to God, just as the eyes are closed, just raise your hand. and we will pray for you, and God is going to accept you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Anybody else? That's great. We're going to have a baptism in a moment, and thank you. Thank you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we praise you, give you thanks, oh God. And sometimes we find ourselves in life where we think that we have had a relationship with you, and but we drift away, oh God. Our goals in life, there are so many things that needs to be done in the world, become so important. And those things needs to be done. And those are important things in life. And it's not that we just give up and walk away, but our entire focus is on those things. And in the bargain, we miss out on really focusing on you. Father, we pray for those who raise their hand today that keep walking with them, oh God. As they surrender their life to you, help them to walk in your path, oh Father, that their focus will be on you and you alone, oh God. And other things of this world will fall in its place, and we will enjoy our life on the face of this earth, and not only on the face of this earth, but the eternity, the eternal life that you give, we are going to have an amazing life with you. Thank you, God. We praise you and we give you thanks, oh God. As we sing in response, just praise God and give thanks to him for who he is in your life. And then we'll get ready for this baptism today and celebrate with Jeremy today here. Go ahead.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. And I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the single breath. I'll bring you.
today. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the service. Thank you for the ability to come together and praise your name and worship you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks for the minutes and moments we have to share together and the times that you give us to be able to spend time with you. God, you're never too busy. You're never too far off for us to come back to this heart of worship and come to you in humility, God, and praise your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Alrighty, so Jeremy is going to come.